Hello and welcome to Twin Flames, the Great Spiritual Awakening podcast, where you can listen to real-life stories from those who answered the call of divine love. I'm your host, Dennis. I'm a certified ascension coach with Twin Flames Universe. I've been on my Twin Flame journey for several years now, and I'm living in union with my Twin Flame thanks to the teachings of union at twinflamesuniverse.com. For every episode of this podcast, I am joined by special guests who are on various stages of the Twin Flame journey. Some of them are newer, while others have already achieved a union or even harmonious Twin Flame union. So every week, you get a close-up glance into their personal Twin Flame journey, and you get to really find out what happened on their journey. How did they overcome the biggest challenges? And what did they do to get to where they are today and have real and permanent success on the Twin Flame journey? Enjoy and always remember, only love is real and love never fails. Today, I'm really happy to welcome Charles and Oceana here with me, Twin Flames in Harmonious Union. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi, we're very happy to be here. Very delighted.
Absolutely.
And we are really looking forward to sharing our story with you guys.
I'm really happy to have you here. And I have to say that I'm really curious about your story because there's some things I know about you. I know about your wedding because that was a very official thing that happened during the Sedona workshop weekend. And that's definitely something that I have some questions about for you guys. But other than that, you know, I don't really know a lot about your journey. And I'm really curious to hear about you. And one of the things that I really want to ask you first is, how did you actually begin your Twin Flame journey? How did everything start for you?
Okay. I feel like there's a lot to unpack there.
We'll try and simplify it as best as possible.
But I will start by saying that, you know, I was just a teenager starting my journey looking for love. And I was, you know, having relationships and they weren't going very well for me, you know. And even though I was just a teenager, like I was very passionate, you know, I'm a passionate person and I've always believed in love and I've always desired love and romance in my life. And so I wasn't experiencing any of that. And I kept getting so let down. And then eventually I had found, you know, Jeff Schley's on YouTube. I found them on YouTube. And that was really where it had begun for me, really understanding, okay, what's Twin Flames? You know, what is this journey about? And like, you know, all this stuff, diving into the Twin Flame tunnel on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually after a few years, you know, we were friends on Facebook for quite a few years, but
yes,
but you know, I didn't even think about it, like him being my Twin Flame. That was that was never like, oh, who is this? Because this is a little tidbit that a lot of people don't know about our journey is that Charles actually went to school with my mom. So,
okay. Wow.
Isn't that really interesting? Yeah. So that kind of throws people off a little bit. They're like, what? That's how our journey like really started, you know? And he went to school with my mom. And so him and my mom were kind of like acquaintance friends on mm-hmm. Facebook for a couple of years. And she would talk about him. And, you know, so I would hear about him and like after a few years, we had started talking after I had gotten out of like a false twin flame relationship. I was so crushed. I was very devastated and I just didn't understand. But at the same time as I knew like God was leading me, like I was getting closer, you know, I was getting closer because I could feel it, even though this was so painful. I knew I was like, this next relationship's got to be it. Because like any more of this, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Charles, you know, this one, I had the book, you know, so I didn't have the book. You gifted me the book.
I did.
Yeah. But we had started talking after, you know, well, a little bit during this relationship, because I was feeling unsure.
We're just becoming better friends.
Yeah, we were just acquainted.
It wasn't anything besides that because we were so far away.
Yeah, we were long distance. You know, I was in Washington and Charles was in Buffalo.
New York.
New York. And so we had started talking to each other and yeah, it wasn't anything behind it, but I did start getting these sort of feelings inside myself. I was kind of ignoring them about him, you know.
Well, like questions though, weren't they?
Yeah, questions. I was like, God, Charles is so much older than me, you know, and that really kind of was something I also had to work through as well, is his age gap, you know, our age gap that we have. I'm much younger than him. And so, you know, I there was times where I did maybe imagine myself with an older man, and it did make me uncomfortable at first. And I think that's why I quickly had dismissed him as being my twin flame. Cause I was like, nah, I need somebody my age. But eventually I just started having these like thoughts and feelings and questions about him, you know, cause we would have these conversations and he just like seemed so filled with the same passion and love that I had, you know, in my heart about love and life and, you know. And so when I had eventually moved to Buffalo, that is when Charles, we met for the first time. And it took, like, how long did it take for us to meet?
Maybe a good week or two.
Yeah, we met pretty quickly.
You were here and then you were just hesitant on meeting me because you had some things going on.
I did not desire to meet Charles right away, honestly. I was really, you know, I was just so nervous about meeting him and I was just scared, you know, and about, like I said, like him being older, me being younger, and just like feeling like I wasn't a woman enough. And, you know, when I met him for the first time, it was really like I hugged you and you had Jeff Schley's book in your hand. And I hugged him and I felt like I was coming home, you know. I'm gonna get like emotional. Like I felt like I was coming home, and just like a rejoicing, just a really peaceful embrace to meet him for the first time. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know you, you know, I'm not sure about you at the same time, you know. And we had gone into my grandma's house and I'll sit down. And it was funny because at first I didn't like Charles. Like, I didn't like Charles. I thought that he was, you know.
They got it confused. They thought I was arrogant. And everything else, and it just didn't realize it was more confident.
Just confident. It was, yeah. And I felt really like uncomfortable. I was like, I'm not sure if I like Charles. I was like, I don't know about this man, you know. And after a couple days, like moving through those feelings, they had like unfolded and started progressing more into like more loving feelings. Let me just get clear here. Yeah, it was just love underneath it. You know, I was gradually starting to realize that, you know, this man is very interesting, very intriguing. And yeah, just meeting you felt really peaceful, hugging you. And then I had moved through some of those feelings, but getting the book, and I started reading the book. And I thought it was so crazy because I was like, wait, Charles gave me the book, you know, and I just like was so caught off guard about that. And when I started reading the book, everything started to make sense and click, like about how I was feeling around Charles and how I felt when I met him.
I was making harmonious moves.
Yeah. And just like how I felt made a lot of sense. And I started utilizing, you know, doing the mirror exercise because I was really nervous about spending more time around Charles. You know, I knew he's going to.
Subconsciously, I knew the book would help her get through that.
I knew that he's, you know, he sees me for who I am and I can't hide from him, you know. And when I did start applying the mirror exercise and doing that, the work, it just felt more peaceful. And I was like, okay, I can move forward here and I can spend time with Charles and start cultivating this relationship. And really we became instant best friends, like just inseparable, like literally inseparable. We would spend hours. I mean, we would spend all the way to like 3-4 in the morning together. We'd go to his house and we would just be up all night. We would not want to leave each other's side. It would be so tired the next day, but we just could not get enough of each other. And Charles, it was really funny because Charles is very persistent on being with me. And
not just seeing you.
Seeing me. He would drop flowers off at my house. He would get me tea. He would drive by the house. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but he was like really persistent coming over and wanting to see me. And yeah, you know, I love that. And you know, he's a passionate man and persistent, and I love that about him. I still do. And well, then we started hanging out and inseparable.
Went out to dinner, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, going out to dinner. And that's really how our journey started. Mm-hmm. And from there on, you know, we moved in very quickly together after like
some situation came up that we had to act upon. And
yeah, well, you know, that was part of our journey too, just like how, you know, my mom had treated me in our union. And so when I utilized, you know, the mirror exercise in Jeff Schley's book, Twin Flames Finding Your Ultimate Lover, mm-hmm. I was able to claim back my power here and realize, mm-hmm. no, I can live the life that I want, and I can go and live with my man and have the life that I desire. And I'm not going to let you tell me that I can't.
Not let anybody dictate how you should be.
Right. And there was a moment where, you know, it just like clicked. I was like, I got to get out of here. This isn't a healthy situation. And I'm going to go live my life now. And that's what I did. And I moved in with Charles, and, you know, our relationship started to progress from there. And we just really claimed each other very quickly
we had to get a new place right away because our vibe at the place where I was living wasn't working, because downstairs had such a negative hatred vibe towards each other that our love vibe was just so like, they can feel it. And they were just so angry and mean towards us.
Yeah, you're just passionately in love. And so it didn't.
That's how strong it was that where our neighbors downstairs were hating
very
us.
Very uncomfortable.
They were hating us because of our love.
Yeah. And it was not supportive for our
not
union
at all.
And
not at all.
It was like, it was literally hell. In neighbors from hell. That's what it was.
And yep.
And so once we, you know, we finally got out of there, then we moved into a new apartment, our very first apartment together.
Landlord from heaven.
And he lived below us with his son. So sweet. And that was when we did invest into either the teachings of Union, Twin Flame Ascension School. And
yeah, it was there. We were there for a year, then the pandemic hit and we were like, let's do this.
We invested into the work. And from there on, you know, watch classes. And that was like, that's so supportive to the foundation of our relationship and our union, and, you know, applying the teachings and the work. And one of the things too, is that like we fell into harmonious union, right? I'd say relatively like a few months after we had invested into the work, and it was just very natural and peaceful. And I remember that day very vividly. Actually, it was night. And I was sitting next to Charles, and I just felt just like a peace wash over me, and like a calmness, a stability in my heart and in my life. And it just felt normal and natural. And then, yeah, that was, you know, that's where our journey began and how it started. And now, now we live here in a house that we bought together that we own. And because of the teachings of Union, like we had so many blocks and so many things to work through to get this house while I was pregnant with our daughter. And we're very grateful and very blessed and live a beautiful life together in our home and raising our daughter in harmonious union. Like,
it's amazing when you put God first, but it all happens.
Right. Putting God first and applying the work, teachings of Union, and yeah, that's really how our journey started.
Oh, it was simple. I tried to keep it as simple as possible.
You weren't expecting that kind of a curveball, were you?
No, I was expecting that you were going to talk about the beginning of your journey, but I pretty much got the entire storyline now from you. But that was,
I'm sorry.
That was amazing, because I would have asked you about these things anyway. So you just, you know, you just gave us the whole thing on a silver platter right from the beginning.
There we go.
So, you know, I'm curious, how was your perspective of this entire story that Oceana just shared with us, Charles? How did you come to, because you gifted her to Jeff and Shilia's book. So you, right. I assume you found Jeff and Shilia first. How did the Twin Flame journey start for you, and how did you find Jeff and Shilia?
I found them through her.
I told them about their...
Okay.
Yeah, there was one, we had a conversation. I had brought Twin Flames up to Charles, and because I was, you know, I was really pursuing that journey, and I was like, hey, you ever heard of Twin Flames? And, you know, I think I shared a couple of videos to you.
And I was in a catfish relationship.
Yeah, he was in a catfish relationship, yeah.
Which I found out, and I found out who it was, and that just ended quickly. But throughout that, I was pouring more of my energy into her than I was with that.
Yeah.
Even though subconsciously I knew that relationship was fake, it basically just got the best of me. But I was realizing, as we were talking about the work through Jeff and Shilia, through their
teachings
book, the teachings of union of their book, it was more, it was opening up. It was like a fresh can of air.
A fresh can of air.
And it was a great insight into who I truly am and what I desire, and which was.
I love
that. My Oceana.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. I mean, I was going through my own journey. She was there for it, but just online. I was going through a weight loss journey. And at that point is where I started to put God first. And then just all literally just
fell into place.
Fell into place. Because I wasn't supposed to, if I didn't go through it, then I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the family that I have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that's special.
Of course.
It'd make me cry. Yeah, I feel like our journey is really interesting, because, like, I'm sorry, we're going back again to the beginning.
No, go ahead, please.
Like, when he was going through a weight loss journey, I was exercising, and I was using that as, like, a way to cope with my life, you know, and the trauma I had gone through, and just trying to get healthy and to feel strong mentally and physically. And so it was like we were meeting each other at this same place.
But in different places.
In different places, mm-hmm. Trying to just get healthy and to get stronger, and especially spiritually, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So you found Jeff and Shilia first, Oceana, and then you told Charles about it. Then Charles got a book and gifted you the book. And then, I mean, the rest, yeah, just so, but that's a really funny, it's just like, yeah, really funny how all of it came together.
Yeah, and I didn't think of it, you know, like it was going to happen. You know, I just thought, hey, maybe, you know, this person that you're with, maybe their ears wouldn't blame, you know, and they need some help. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
So
Charles, when you gifted Oceana Jeff and Shilia's book, did you think anything by doing that? Like, was the intention to give her a sign of, hey, maybe we're twin flames?
Because I know she was at a point in her life where she was like, she's going, I need the book. But she wasn't able to, because she was in the process of moving to Buffalo from where she was. And for her to get, she didn't know where to put the percent of the books in. So I knew she was coming here. So I purchased the book for her. I purchased two books, one for me and one for her. And we didn't purchase over 15 books for them. We've given so many books away to people. It's not, yeah. We just keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I didn't think anything. I just knew she desired the book, and I wanted to be the one that gives that to her. Before she went out and got it, or, you know, her, you know, someone else.
Charles is sending me lots of messages of love. So let's just say that before that. Yes.
Yeah.
Very private and full of love.
Yes.
So when did you two start to consider for the first time that you are twin flames?
That's a good question. I feel like when I was...
When you finally accepted me, you knew I wasn't being arrogant, but more being confident. Your tone, I'm going to say tone, but...
Tone.
Your...
attitude?
Your attention for me got stronger.
Yeah. We had to spend a little bit more time together and kind of build a friendship first.
Without a crowd, basically, you know, like... Yeah. Her family hovering over us.
Yeah, because it was really difficult. So we needed to spend time by ourselves. And it just kind of, I guess it just felt natural, fell in naturally. I try not to be, because before in the past, I would get like obsessive. Like, is this person my twin flame? Is this person my twin flame? And so with Charles, I was really unattached at this point. I was like, whatever it is, whatever, you know, it is what it is, because I have been looking for my twin flame and so many different people. Like, I'm just not going to sit here and claim him as my twin flame right away. I'm unattached if he is or if he's not. But spending time with him, it sort of naturally fell into place. And like reading the book, I started to consider maybe he is my twin flame, you know, like maybe he is. And just I started to consider him being my twin flame because of the way I felt when I was with him. And like I said, like that passion and that love, like he was meeting me exactly where I was desiring to be met, where nobody else was meeting me and could not match me here. When I was with him, he was coming right there with me. We were together. And I was like, this is a sign. This feels really good because I've never felt this before. So, yeah.
Was it the same time for you, Charles, where you were like, or did you have like some, I don't know, like thoughts about, okay, maybe she's my twin flame before she, Oceana even started thinking in that direction?
I honestly, when she was making the move here, it was her 21st birthday, and I sent her.
I left that out. I forgot about that.
I think it was way before that, honestly.
Yeah.
It was before she even moved to Buffalo, but I didn't say anything to her in regards to it because I didn't want to scare her.
Yeah.
But I sent her some flowers and some chocolate covered Oreos.
There was a message that you sent, and it was like, what was it? I loved you. I love you. You're Italian stallion, and God brought us together for a reason. I love you. So I feel like that was your moment where you were really claiming me in your heart.
Yeah. Because she, yeah, it was about two months before.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like
I want to say about a month or 2 months.
Month and a half before she moved here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had a feeling before she did.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's such a sweet story that you guys have.
Yeah, it is. I love our love
but
story.
But the what matched?
But oh yeah, the flowers Charles had sent me. This was like a weird sink. It literally matched. It matched my pajamas. Like it was so strange. No way. He got white and these gorgeous. I don't know what kind of flowers they were. I know there were some white roses in there, but there were these one like violet blue flowers in there, and I was wearing like a white shirt and these really floral violet bluish pants. And it was like the whole bouquet just complemented what I had woke up in on my birthday. It was very bizarre, but I definitely thought it was a little magical moment.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah. Twin flame sync.
Yes.
So I'm curious, you mentioned that you have a really big age gap between the two of you. I mean, big, I mean, it's a relative word, but
20 years.
Yes. It's not a short time, let's just say that. But I guess, you know, there can be longer age gaps. Time is not real, but you know.
Yeah, she's 24 and I'm 45.
Yeah, I'll be 25. I'll be 25 this summer.
In July.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll be 46 in November. So
I see. I know when I have no idea when that was, but at one point I was on your Facebook profile, Oceana, and I saw your age. That was like 2 or 3 years ago when I saw you were like 22, and I was so shocked. I literally had to digest that for a couple of days. Like every time I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's 22. Because for me, like in no way do you have an energy or like a way of being that like radiates an age of 22. What did you say, Chaz?
I've always said she said she has a vintage soul.
She does. Like you are no way for me in your 20s. You have something about you where you come across way more mature. And yeah. With what you shared about you having to heal a lot with a lot around like your age gap and everything, I wonder what was like the main thing that you had to like heal with that? And as a twin flame, you're like one consciousness. What changed the more you hear this age gap thing that you've manifested in the physical, to put it that way?
Yeah, I think one of the main things that I had to heal and move through around our age gap, I would say, God, there were so many different scenarios. Just, you know, I think that it was one of the main things was that I was, you know, afraid that because I'm just a younger woman, that he was just getting with me because I'm young and vibrant and he's older, you know, because that happens a lot in the world. Older men get with younger women for that purpose. And then they like move on.
And it's time for that.
It's so I just thought he was just literally just getting with me just because I was younger, you know? And so I had to heal and move through that. And I think also another thing that I had, well, really we had moved through was like, okay, you're a lot older than me. Like who's going to die first?
Oh my God. Like,
you know, like, oh my God, yeah. You're going to die by myself. Like, how are we going to grow old together? That was a really big one. We had a lot of moments where we cried together, you know, like I just want to grow old with you, but you're so much older than me. But time is an illusion, obviously. And like, we're together.
Do I look like I'm almost 50?
Like we're together and that's all that matters. Yeah. And so we had to bring a lot of love there, a lot of attention to move through that illusion that we were holding on to, you know, cause our love is eternal. Doesn't matter, you know, what gap there is or, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on.
It's a harmonious gap.
We die together. So yeah, that was a big one. That's about it when it comes to healing the age gap. And, you know, I will share one piece from like my childhood. You know, I grew up with like my mom, you know, usually had said I don't come across as younger. Like I had to grow up really fast. Mm-hmm. I was an only child. And so I think that's part of why, like, besides feeling like a vintage soul, just I had to grow up fast. So, you know, and it had to be almost like a parent in the house. And
I got to enjoy my childhood.
Yeah. And so that was, we had different lives in that way. And just also had to grow up hearing like my mom or saying to my dad, this was one of the things, the age gap, you're going to leave me for a younger woman. And so I had all these things, meeting Charles with his age gap, like
she had a lot of triggers.
Yeah. I was so triggered. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're like in your 40s. And like, I got to hear this kind of stuff growing up with my mom and my parents.
She was hanging out in Triggerville for a while.
So it, you know, just lots of love and healing there around my childhood and what I had to hear. So here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I find this like topic of age gaps really interesting. My twin flame and I, we have 12 years between us. And one thing that I've noticed with us, like it never really was a big thing that ever like came up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had like small things to heal around it, but like what I've noticed is that like the more we heal, it's almost like we like she gets younger and I get older, or she comes down to my age. And
yeah,
when I look at you and you're talking about, you know, you're having an age gap of 20 years, I do not look at you and see you being of different ages. Like I don't look, you know, with you, Oceana, I mentioned, I don't look at you and see you like as a 24-year-old woman, and at you, Charles, I don't look and I'm like, oh, you're an older man than Oceana. Like you literally have like this kind of the same age, which is so bizarre in a way.
That's a really
well, she's really 7 and I'm really 5.
That was a joke being all the time. we were like little kids.
Yeah.
But that's a really good point that you make, because it doesn't actually, it doesn't feel that way between us. It doesn't feel like, oh my God, I'm in a relationship with someone who's this enormous age gap. Like there's just no, it just feels like we're in harmony here and we're like the same age, really.
That's how you come across.
Yeah. Only one that has a bedtime in this household is Pearl May.
So silly.
Well, you know, another thing that I want to ask you about is actually your daughter. You have a one-year-old daughter. Her name is Pearl. And it's a very special thing because, you know, not many children get to grow up with twin flames in harmonious union as parents. And also from you, on your side, obviously, it's a very, very special thing to have a child with your twin flame and raise a child in harmonious union with your twin flame.
It's our only child. I don't have any children from, like, most older men you see have kids from past relationships. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said this, that my father died 20 plus years ago, actually the same year she was born. And, 24 years ago. So I always said that my dad was up there looking out for me, making sure that I wouldn't get into trouble, and allowed me to be with her and have our own true family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sweet. But we have a daughter, and just, I mean, it's just really interesting because I feel like, you know, when I was younger, I had made a pretty core choice when I did start my journey. I was like, I really want to have a child. I really want to have a baby with my twin flame. You know, I had made that choice very clear in my heart, and that I don't want to have a baby unless this person really is my twin flame, you know? And I just have always desired to start a family with my twin flame, and, you know, and show our daughter what real love looks like, and to see that, and to see her parents actually happy and love each other and love themselves. And that's such a beautiful gift that we're able to give her, honestly.
Absolutely.
And I feel really blessed, you know.
Until her and I actually met, I never thought I was gonna have kids. You know, passing 40, you're like, okay, time's ticking.
Right. You feel like your clock is ticking.
Yeah. And so I just thought I'd be, you know, I'd grow up, you know, not grow up, but, you know, be with someone, you know, not have kids. But then we met, everything else, and just everything just clicked. And
I thought I was going to have kids way later on in life. Like I thought maybe like when I was like 29 or 30, I'd have a child. But
God bless us.
I had a child, you know, more in younger side, and, well, I'm happy.
It's not the good age.
Good age, yeah.
When you're married to have a kid.
Yeah. And so it just feels really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you decide to have a kid? What led up to that? Was it one day you work out and you were like, let's have a kid?
Because I was surprised as most anyone would be.
You know, I think like we did not set an intention for a specific time. We did talk about it, you know.
Like she said later.
Yeah.
Like 5 years from when we,
I did say, hey, maybe later let's have a child. But, you know, we
it just happened.
It just naturally happened. And
came home one day, she's on the bed, little tear.
I was more like crying. I was a little tear. I was,
she was happy.
Feelings. Yeah,
she's like, you're gonna be a dad, we're gonna have a baby.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting too, like about finding out I was pregnant with Pearl, like the experience that I had, it was interesting because I knew I was pregnant before even like testing myself to get pregnant. I could just like feel
a little human inside of you.
I could just feel her consciousness within me, and I could feel like the energy of her being, you know, and I remember it very vividly, just feeling like, yeah, her humanness, her consciousness, and especially like her femininity. I knew it was a girl like way before. And I could just feel it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get a pregnancy test, just to make sure I'm not crazy. Cause you know, and
yeah, that moment was life changing.
Yeah. It was a very powerful experience.
I said, okay. I turned around and we went out and bought a house, and then we went from there.
Yeah.
We weren't gonna raise her in an apartment. We definitely couldn't do that.
It was just the area was so bad. It was such a bad area. And you know, we knew like once I was pregnant that we had to just build, we needed a new foundation to start our family. It was just such an unhealthy area to be in.
We found this place and this is where we're at.
Yeah. And
so what is it like raising a child with your twin film in Harmonious Union and also with having the teachings of Union and having that to help you in your role as parents?
Such a great question. You know, raising a child with Charles is a very divine, very sacred experience. And obviously, just like any other parents, we go through our challenges. we have our upsets and disagreements, but that's where teachings of Union really help us to work through those upsets and where we're not agreeing and we're not, you know, there's not peace and where there needs to be more love. And like raising a child with Charles, it just does. It feels easy. It feels really natural, you know, and, you know, it doesn't feel like we're not in alignment when it comes to raising her. It feels like we're very much in alignment at the core. And it just feels, yeah, like we're in perfect alignment here with how we desire to raise her and raising her with God, really. And that's, you know, part of the teaching of Union is like, God is really raising her through us and loving her through us. And so it just feels so good, like to have a family and to be doing it with Charles.
I'll tell you this much. I can tell you how much Pearl embraces it, because we were out on Mother's Day at the garden, Botanical Garden. And Pearl walks up to this little boy and just hugs him.
She's like so filled with love.
Just hugs him. Just like never met him before. He hugs her back. And it was just a beautiful moment. I was just like, you know, it's begun.
You can just see she's just filled with so much love.
Yeah.
And and she's very, very sassy. She's very sassy. She's very, you know.
She thinks she's the queen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot, really.
Oh, without a doubt.
And we learned so much from her. You know, she's really helping us. Like, honestly, she's helping us and helping us on our journey. And yeah, like she teaches us every day and, you know, reveals new parts about myself as a mother and where to heal more and to grow more. And, you know, the same thing with Charles and just especially like in our Union. And you know, that was one thing actually too. We had just worked through like a block in our Union as parents around like putting our relationship first, you know, our Union first. And like for a while, we didn't really realize we were putting Pearl first. And this is a common mistake like a lot of parents make when they're raising their child is, you know, it's all about the child, yes. Like the foundation of the marriage and your Union is so important and investing in, you know, time to be doing your inner work and time to be cultivating your love and your romance and, you know, together. And so that was something we just worked through. And so, you know, cause in order for us to really give here to her, to love here, we have to be like nurturing and properly focusing on the foundation of our Union, you know, and that's part of the teaching of Union is, you know, God first, you, your twin flame. Well, me and say me. Right, God,
I was saying your
twin flame. And then Pearl. And then Pearl. And that was something that we just, you know, we had worked through.
And then our cat.
And then our cat.
And then your cat.
Our soul pet. He's our other baby.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I didn't know your cat was your soul pet.
Yeah, he's our soul pet. He's so sweet.
I had a soul pet before her. I had my cat for over 20 years. He died after 20 years of being around and just before she moved here.
And it was interesting when I brought my cat with me too. Charles was very like, I don't know about your cat. Like,
attitude about him.
We both had, he cut my eye open and he needed stitches.
That was an accident. It was dark. Wow. But it was really
That's intense.
He couldn't see. But they became instant best friends. I love it to see my cat.
She says he's never taken to a male figure ever. Well, always hated him.
He just always wanted to run away and be away from home because, how I grew up. But I've had him since I was a little girl. And so, since I was just, little. And I would, treat him like my little baby. Mm-hmm. And so just to...
He gave you a snake guy look.
To see him, just you guys become best friends. It's really special.
That's really sweet. Yeah. So just going back to what you shared about your daughter, Pearl, and you just your experience as being as in your parenting role. What I found really, really beautiful about that is, for many people, I feel like with not really knowing how to work, for one, not being with your twin flame, where you're just experiencing many differences in how you want to raise someone. For one, you're not experiencing that, which obviously adds a lot of harmony into that, and you can offer your child a completely different foundation and home. And what I found really, really beautiful from what you shared is that, I know so many people that who have a child and who see it as a burden. And you shared this one sentence where you said how Pearl is really helping you on your journey. And I feel that really adds a completely different perspective to the relationship you as parents have with your child, even if your child is a baby and really small, seeing that, when it's a relationship based on love and you're learning the lessons with the teachings of union and with the mirror exercise and whatnot that your child is teaching you, you really actually on this ascension journey together with your child.
Yeah. Quite literally, yeah, she's blessing us a lot. And, I just, like I said, I learned so much from her every day and about myself. And there's really so much inner child and childhood healing there that your child has to offer you in motherhood or fatherhood, parenthood. But it's up to you whether you choose to receive that and to see it. So. Yeah.
Do you feel like you are learning a completely new way when it comes to being parents, kind of letting go of all these paradigms and old parenting styles?
Yes. Yeah.
It's because it's completely new to us. I've been, like I said, I've been the uncle. I'm a godfather. I've never been a father. So this is all new. And I'm glad that we're new at it, because if we all had our own different ways of doing things prior to this, I think it would interfere with what we need to do.
Yeah. And I just think that, when you become a parent, you have ways that your parents raised you and seeing other people raise their children, but none of those ways are in harmony in my heart with how I've, we desire and have in raising her. And there's been a lot of things that we've had to unlearn and are still unlearning, on our journey with raising her and, really raising her through the teachings of union and raising her from a place of love with God, really, because she's God's child and we're just here to guide her and to love her.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing the mirror exercise with her in a way, with images or something, or how are you helping her work through?
That would be answer to her question answer, because she's more with her.
Yeah, I do a lot of the main child rearing with her, and I feel like I've played, one of the things that I had started recently was I played Jeff Schley's meditation for her when she's in the bath, taking a bath, and I noticed that actually helps her sleep better.
That's so cool. Helps wow.
Calm her down and relax her. So
if it works for us, why wouldn't it work for her?
Yeah.
I think good point.
I'll play one track for her in the bath, and she seems to really enjoy it. And it's a great way to introduce her to some spirituality, And I would say that, we connect through our heart, and that's how I'm really aware of what she needs and obviously aware of like what I need, but connecting with her through my heart, there is really where I can understand, okay, and with God, like, what does she need, and what's the, like, the next step here, you know? So, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apart from what you shared, this lesson that you had to learn as parents to put yourself first and not put your child first, what do you feel is the number one biggest thing you've learned from your daughter and from being parents?
Patience.
Yeah. I feel like, you know.
Is that too quick of an answer? I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't.
It's really spot on. Yeah. I think that for me, it's been compassion. And it's been patience and
understanding.
Yeah, just, well, that's part of compassion, is having understanding, you know, and I just get a little emotional, you know, like, you're a parent and there's so many beautiful moments you have with your child. And there's also really tough, challenging moments you have where you're like, you're in the thick of it and you're just like, whew, man, I'm really getting tested right now, you know, and, but I love it so much because that's where it's, I'm learning and growing as a human being and where she's teaching me and just to persevere through those moments. And it's definitely been patience for me, having patience. And I've always admired people that have this patience of a saint. I have always admired those people. Because I desire to be a very patient person and obviously one filled with compassion. And she teaches me that every single day. And yeah. So tears in my eyes.
Well, it's a really profound thing that you're learning there and she's teaching you.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't like want to ruin the moment, but I kind of like want to dive into another like topic with you next.
No, you're good. I'm so complete here.
Okay, good. I just wanted to give you a couple of seconds.
You're totally fine.
Okay. What I'm actually curious about, where are you guys at when it comes to your life purpose? Where are you headed? What's going on in that area?
Well, that's a good question. So, you know, one of like our life purpose, like, is actually being parents, you know, being a mother. Mm-hmm. That's my life purpose, is actually raising Pearl and, you know, being an ascension coach. Like, I'm a certified ascension coach. Mm-hmm. Eventually Charles will get there. You know, it's a journey that we're taking together, but right now we're really already living our purpose, which is being parents and raising her. And it's a really, we're having a great time. So yeah. And maybe there's more there for us to discover. There definitely is. And you know, it's unfolding naturally and there's more things that we'll grow into in our union for sure. You know, I'm an artist. I love to paint and dance and sing and all that. And who knows where that will go, you know, in our life together. But yeah, I know I desire to write a twin flame poetry book because I'm starting to write love poems about Charles and the love that we share. So yeah.
That would be an awesome book. I would definitely love that.
I love poetry and I just love poetry about love, you know, and especially, you know, Jeff Chalene, their poems that they have in Twin Flames, Find Your Ultimate Lover. I love going back to those and reading them. They're so beautiful and they're really obviously
inspiring.
Very inspiring. They have a really great way with just feeling and feeling that and putting it into words, just divinely. And yeah, I desire to share that one day through poetry. I love writing, and you know, it was something I always did on my twin flame journey when I was feeling my feelings about love, I would write poetry. And so now I get to write it actually about my true twin flame.
That's me.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, or is this something you've ever considered to like help, like as an ascension coach, do you like coach children specifically?
You know, that would be cool. I mean, I'm definitely open to that, you know, and I think that one of the things we'll definitely take in our coaching business and, you know, in the future is helping, actually coaching for like, you know,
parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like coaching on children and raising children.
Can't be the only true twin flame couple with a harmonious baby.
Yeah. Well, we are right now.
I know, but there's going to be more.
Right.
And, you know, and what we learn and
just
how we
in
do
general,
it.
Just in general, helping
exactly.
parents with yeah. their children. And that's important. And I would love, you know, especially to help mothers.
Mm-hmm. In case they get lost in their journey.
Yeah. Just like in general, you know, I realize being a mother, like, is filled with so many challenges and there's just so many different things as mother you face and that's flying around in the consciousness right now. And mm-hmm. that is definitely one thing I desire is just
it's like I've been there, done that blog.
Right. Just like helping yeah. other mothers, you know, and raising their child and, you know, even fathers and, you know, yeah. and parents in general, because I get it. Like I get being a mom and, you know, it is challenging, but filled with so much love and joy. And that's why I'm so grateful for the teachings of union. Cause man, if I did not have this work, oh my gosh, motherhood would feel so much more harder.
It'd like, be a wreck.
Yeah. It would be a wreck. Honestly.
It would be more of a
battle.
Yeah, battle. Like just
I
to
was gonna say a war.
Just like to understand, like what the hell is going on, you know, as a parent.
I understand why divorce rate is up.
But yeah,
because they don't have this. They don't have this in their life.
Yeah, they don't have their twin flame. But one thing I do want to add, like applying the mirror exercise as a parent with your child is really effective. Like, you know, there's times where like Pearl's really upset or moving through something, you know, and I have to mirror my feelings about it. I have to face how she's making me feel. And when I do that, I notice how our relationship changes and unfolds through me loving myself here and applying the work in this way as a mother, you know, and I witness it through her. I see it. I'm like, oh yeah, I did the inner work here. Now, you know, things are moving along more swiftly in this area. And it's just, it's crazy. It's very interesting, you know, it works and is a very effective tool in parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Little Mae thinks she can get away with everything.
Funny. Yeah.
So for the last couple of minutes, I want to ask you about your wedding. You got, as I mentioned at the beginning, you got married in Sedona. You had the first in-person live, real, whatever word we want to use, harmonious twin flame wedding.
You know, went down.
Basically, well, I'm not going to lie. I pretty much started it.
You said,
I came home.
Hang on. Let me, I want to start. Exactly.
You know, you've actually started all the stories, so you can actually sit back.
Okay, I know, but this is a really, okay.
It doesn't matter. Okay. I've let you have the reins. I'm going to
take Charles, take the reins.
All right.
Go ahead, Charles.
Okay.
My horse. I come home from work and she hits me with the news that they're doing a workshop in Sedona. We're going. Not asking if we're going. She's just saying we're going.
I was very much claiming.
And I think I went and got the tickets that night or that day. I went around and I ordered them, got them right then and there. I was like, all right, we will start building from there. We were just talking and then I had an idea in my head. So I went outside and I messaged Jeff. And I said to him, what do you think about having a wedding in Sedona, Ocean and I get married? I was thinking something small, you know, just after everything, just this.
Literally.
It blew up. He was just like, wow. And what they did from there, we never expected.
No, it's not.
You know, my heart is, is just still full of their love and always will be.
I'm just thinking about the experience, like sitting with it and going back. It's like you can't ever forget.
In the beginning, so I wanted to surprise her when we got to Sedona. And Jeff's like, how are you going to keep it from her? Straight up just like that. How are you going to keep it from her? You can't do that. There's no way.
Yeah.
You have to tell her.
It's funny.
And then I was just like, okay. I was just a little simple ceremony. You know, it would have been, but I understand why we couldn't keep it from her. Because what they created from it. And, you know, like you said, the first in-person since COVID and all that happened, you know, years. And it was a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, to see all of our friends and family there.
And I do want to say one thing, though. before, and this is a really good testament to the teachings of union. When I was in a coaching class with Jeff, you know, he had asked me, you know, why are you guys married? Like he was getting stern with me. Like, why are you guys married yet? And, you know, he's just sharing with me a lot of profound insight and helping me here in this place where I really need to claim myself more. And it was because of that class and him showing me, you know, this part of myself that needed a lot of love. I went and really loved myself, and I gave myself like the wedding of my dreams in my heart, and I imagined myself marrying Charles. And so for him, like, he reflected that back so quickly, and just
she never told me this even happened.
No, and I didn't even tell Charles that. And then he just went to Jeff and was like, hey, let's get married. I was like,
it wasn't like what? That.
I was mind blown.
I mean, I still had the messages like, on my Facebook Messenger.
And like, that's just such a powerful testament of the teaching of union, that when you do the work, your twin flame is automatically going to reflect that choice back.
We're dialed in.
We're dialed in. So I just wanted to share that because I'll never forget that.
Yeah. And then I remember when I did tell you that we're having a wedding in Sedona. Man, that was just one crazy night.
Yeah. So
that's really incredible. How did the wedding itself feel? What was it like? How did the wedding itself feel? What was it like being married by Jeff and Shalia standing there right in front of you reading the vows?
I made the most of it. It was great. You know, because obviously I stood up there before she guy came in, and I had flame socks on. I was warming the crowd up. I was feeling, I was great. I was in such a great mood that nothing could bring me down except an asteroid.
Yeah.
Which in Sedona, I wouldn't be surprised if one landed there.
Oh my gosh.
But it was great. It was beautiful. I was just, you know, couldn't wait.
Being in heaven, really.
Because we had to get married before that. We got married in front of the Justice of the Peace in Arizona.
Yeah, it was like 2 days
prior,
3 days before the wedding.
Yeah, everybody, because Jeff did say in the conversation that we had, we can do it either before or after. So I was just like, because when we get back from Buffalo, we can do it after that. You know, get back from Arizona, we can do it in Buffalo.
Yeah, it had to get done right away.
Yeah.
But the wedding was absolutely it was beautiful. It was such an honor to stand before them. And I was definitely moving through a lot of feelings.
It was a lot to do that week.
It was a lot for me to take in, but it's just so real to be standing there and in front of everybody, like,
but in
we're
the end,
on the same wavelength.
It was worth it.
It was amazing. So
yeah, you couldn't capture the feelings on photo. It doesn't, the pictures don't even begin to describe how everybody was feeling. Yeah, everybody looked like we're having fun, but it was just more than
feeling. It was just so beautiful,
yeah,
and like in your soul, and it was phenomenal. And just like I said, it felt really good to be in front of everybody who were on the same wavelength, we're on the same path, and to stand in front of, you know, our gurus marrying us, and you know, it was.
We created.
I can't find any more words, really.
I felt like we created our own vortex.
It was no, that's actually true. It was a vortex of love.
I'm not even.
That's exactly what it was.
She nudged me because I was about to say something, but I was trying to find the words before you nudged me. But I feel like, because you know, there's a vortex there,
yeah,
which we never got to see.
No, we did go see a vortex.
That's right. That one.
They have vortex.
But I thought we created our own vortex while we were there that night.
We did.
I'm talking about everybody.
No, everybody did.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was just great.
Yes. Everybody, wow. There was a vortex of love and it was very powerful and you could feel it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing your experience with your wedding.
Evans, thank you for opening yourself to us.
Yeah, thank you.
We're not completely finished yet. I still have a question for you. And hang on in there, two more minutes. Actually, before I get to the last question I have for you, I just want to let our listeners know that if they want to watch your wedding, there's a live recording where they can view that. And that's included in the Romans in Sedona workshop that also includes the two-day Romans in Sedona workshop and then the professional recording of your wedding. So yeah, everyone who wants to watch that, get that workshop. It's absolutely phenomenal. And yeah, now I can get to my last question for you guys.
Girls rambling on over here.
I'm a rambler.
It's okay. So my last question for you is, if you could go back to the very beginning of your twin flame journey and give yourself a piece of advice or a message, what would that be?
You know, I just think it would be to, I guess, love yourself, value yourself. I think that would be the thing that I would say, value yourself. I would tell her that, to value herself. And you know, she will eventually get there, but you have to take the journey and it is for what it is and how it's unique for you. You can't control how it's going to go.
I kind of want to say I did that though. I kind of went back into my, because there was a point in the beginning that when she was resisting me, I wanted to give up.
Mm.
You never knew that.
So you would tell yourself to never give up.
I felt like I came to my, like my future me came to me, like, and he gave me a swift kick in the ass and was like, keep doing it, brother. You got this. This is who she is. This is who you want. This, you know, it's just all like literally something came over me and was just like persistent. And then so when I drove it into persistent mode and.
Yeah. I definitely think that's something that everybody should know on their twin flame journeys. Like just to never give up. Oh my gosh. We Charles and I both know how hard it can be. We know. Okay. We have been through some shit together. Let me tell you, we get it. And it can feel like you want to just give up on each other in this relationship, but do not give up. You have the teachings of union. You have Twin Flame Ascension School.
I think the funniest argument we've ever had is when we were both really angry with each other and we both pretty much said at the same time, you're not my twin flame. And
I remember that.
And I was like, shit, we are.
Oh my God.
At the same time. And
I was like, what the?
And the argument was over. Right now. It was just too funny.
But
it was
just like, funny.
Yeah.
That's twin flames fighting.
We've all been there. It just worked through it.
Mm-hmm.
Just love each other.
Absolutely.
And love yourself. Don't ever forget to love yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care days, very important.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that piece of advice to your old self. That's very, very, very important advice on this journey, like really one of the main things. And thank you very much for being here today with me and sharing your journey. This was an absolute delight. Also, thank you everyone for joining us today and listening in. If you desire to hear Twin Flame Separation at the core and manifest the life of your dreams with your ultimate lover, your twin flame by your side, then please head over to twinflamesuniverse.com, where we also have an absolutely amazing 8-lesson free Twin Flame Ascension introductory course that will really set you up for success on your journey. I love that course so much. It's absolutely perfect. And yeah, we will be back next week with our next episode. And in the meantime, many blessings for all of you on your journey into harmonious twin flame union.
Ciao for now.
Thank you.